Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing on our time together. Father, thank you for the joy it is to gather together around your word. And so as we continue to study this challenging book of Revelation on our Sunday evenings, help us, Father, to get the most out of this book that you have written for us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to read chapter 13 just to get the context, and then we'll talk about it together. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and on his horns ten crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshipped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on the right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. Well, let's kind of remember, it's been a while. We've been a few weeks, a couple of months since we've been in the book of Revelation. Remember, we also had some Easter thoughts. And so there are 22 chapters in the book of Revelation. And remember, it begins with letters to the vision of Christ, and then the letters to the seven churches, chapters 2 and 3. 4 and 5, the vision of heaven and the seal given to the Lamb that was slain. So we talked about the judgments going forward that kind of govern the rest of the book as being laid out in these sevens. There's the seven seals, and then there's the seven trumpets. Remember, the seventh seal really is the seven trumpets. And then that will eventually lead into the seven bowls or vials, if you're looking at the King James translation. Again, the seventh trumpet is the seven vials. And remember, there's these interludes that kind of break the flow of thought between these judgments. It's laid out in chronological progression as far as the judgments, but sometimes these parenthetical sections fill in some of the blanks and look back, and some look forward. We've been dealing with that. So chapter 13, if you're paying attention, is right in the middle of an interlude or a parenthetical section. Here's where we are. We've gone through the first 12 chapters, and tonight we're going to be discussing chapter 13, kind of as a whole. And for some of you, you're still thinking, were we studying the book of Revelation? Have we talked about that? So we're kind of ramping up a little bit here. Just remember the seals and the trumpets and the bowls are laid out for us in the book of Revelation. And we have gotten through all but the last seal. Again, the last seal is the bowls. So that's where we are. Or to put it in terms of the Daniel's 70th week, that last seven-year period, there's some of the things. Remember, there's we keep seeing three and a half years, break up. The abomination of desolation right at the middle point. We have taken the seals and the trumpets, take us right up to that time of the first 3.5 years, the midpoint. And we have not had the seventh seal yet, or the seventh trumpet, I should say. So the bowls have not started, and the seventh trumpet has not yet blown. Have you ever watched a race, like maybe a foot race or something, and the runners get all set, and they get their feet all placed in, and it just seems like to me, you know, of course I don't know about the runner, but it seems for those of us watching, it seems like it's forever before they finally squeeze the trigger, you know, and just, you just imagine the poor guy, you know, do I breathe again before we run? Well, we're kind of waiting for that seventh trumpet to blow, but we have some things to discuss before we're finished. So that's where we are right now. Let me give you another picture of the big overview. It's a little bit too much information here, but you see, begins here with the talk about the seven seals, then the seven trumpets. We're in the section here, chapters 12 and 13, seven key figures that we need to keep. And then later on, the seven bowls and other things. So we're right in this section right here. You kind of see it there. That's where we are. Yeah, it's a little sideways. Let me help you. No ooh or ah. No, I thought that was pretty good the way that turned. Hey, thank you. Thank you very much. Still might be a little harder, so let's look at it this way. There's the seven key figures of chapters 12 and 13. To break it up just a little bit better, chapter 12, we saw the woman. Remember the woman with the 12 stars around her head about to give birth to a child? That was Israel. The dragon is Satan. We're told that directly in chapter 12. Chapter 12, the child, the male child, kept emphasizing that. This is the Messiah. This is Christ. Satan wanted to stop him from even arriving. And Michael the archangel was a key figure. He had a big battle with Satan, so that Satan was cast out of heaven. And that affects his attitude in the rest of the book. There's also, in chapter 13, there's the remnant, really, that might be in chapter 12, the remnant, the saved Israelites who are persecuted. I need to move that, rearrange that. The last two only really are the Antichrist, the beast out of the sea. That's the first part, chapter 13, verses 1 to 10. And then the second part is the false prophet. So I've got to fix this slide. That dotted line really needs to go between the remnant and the Antichrist. I think chapter 13 is just the last two. Oh, by the way, did you notice seven key figures? That's pretty good, huh? Huh? Pardon me? What did he say?
Pride goes before the fall.
Yeah, exactly. Amen. I'm having all impressed with the key, but I didn't have the dotted line in the right place. Oops. So let's go again. This is review. You heard the sermon on Sunday night a couple days ago. But in verses 1 to 2, I stood on the sand of the sea. I saw a beast rising up out of the sea. And here's that picture again, seven heads and 10 horns, and his horns, 10 crowns on his heads, a blasphemous name. That reminds us, by the way, of Daniel chapter 7, this the little horn who rose up and with, you know, blasphemous, and Daniel, you know, the image of the beasts as well as the image that Nebuchadnezzar saw. Now, the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. That's talking about this beast coming out of the sea. And this is the Antichrist. Here's what he looks like. Okay, so let's see if this fits. Leopard body, lion mouth. Sounds like someone in Washington, D.C., but we won't get going on that. Look carefully now. The feet, like the bear, okay? And remember, this is kind of going backwards for the way it was described. These are the kingdoms described in Daniel. You know, the lion would be Babylon. The bears, and again, it's kind of in backwards order because we're looking back, Babylon. The bear, that's Medo-Persia. Remember in Daniel, it's a lopsided bear because it's two kingdoms working together. And then the leopard, you know, we always think of the leopard as really fast-running big cat. Alexander the Great, who could so quickly ran across the nations of the world. So this is a picture of the Antichrist. And again, if you wanted to spend the time, you would find 10 horns. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And you see there's the crowns on the horns. So that's kind of a, who knows what it looked like, but this will do, won't it? Kind of get the picture. A strange looking creature, fierce looking creature. This represents the Antichrist, who and the empire that he will rule. The empire of the Antichrist, the kind of the revived Roman Empire, the fourth empire of the book of Daniel. And so some will say it's Rome 2.0. How are we doing? Making sense? Good. I have to stop and say, you notice you're making sense. I'm talking about the seals and the trumpets and the bowls. We haven't gotten the bowls yet. Talking about the Antichrist and the beasts of Daniel, and you're all nodding your heads. Most church folk, most folks would not have clue one about any of these things. And you're, oh yeah, we know all about. Move on. Let's tell us something we don't know. You know, we're getting this together. Chapter 13, verses 3-5. I saw one of his heads, this Antichrist figure, as if it had been mortally wounded, and his wound unto death was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast, who was able to make war with him. And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. So here we notice he had a deadly wound from which he was, we're told, healed. Can you think of anyone else who had a deadly wound from which they were healed? Jesus. Yeah, and so this is the Antichrist. And so you can see, well, we're trying to copy. And so notice this grievous wound. The world marveled, followed the beast. They worshiped the dragon. And here's amazing. They worshiped the dragon. They worshiped Satan. And so time is coming when they will worship Satan because they'll give him the glory for what's happening here. And they'll worship the dragon. They'll worship the beast himself, the Antichrist. And they'll say, who is like the beast? Who can wage war with him? So the very people who rejected and will reject the resurrected Christ and the God who sent his son will worship the beast, the resurrected beast, and Satan, who empowered him. Very sad. Any comments on that? Talk about this on last Sunday night. Okay. It says here he will speak with a blasphemous mouth. Daniel keeps using the expression pompous. He had a pompous, arrogant mouth. I decided I would use a historical figure rather than try and use commentary and show anyone current. But I've always been amazed when I've watched video clips of Adolf Hitler speaking. Just he fiery and he would just stir up. You know, we watch it and don't really get at all the feel of his language and all that. But he could just stir up a nation in incredible ways and speak with such boldness and such confidence. You know, that Europe belongs to us and no one's going to stand against us. And we're all about peace. We don't want war, he would actually say. And he would make peace treaties. And then he would attack the people he made peace treaties with. But he was blasphemous in the way he attacked Christianity and the Bible as well. So the Antichrist will make Hitler look like minor league in terms of his arrogance, in terms of his blasphemy, in terms of his influence. Now, it says this is going to continue for 42 months. And so here's a mathematics quiz. How long in years is 42 months? And you have, only if you count them all up, you have only 20 toes and fingers, so you'd have to borrow someone. Yeah. Okay, I'm seeing a signal there. Can you, everybody coming up with 3.5 years? Okay, you see 12 months per year is 12 plus 12 plus 12 is 36. That's 3 years, and then there's half a year left over, 6. So 42. So we see this again and again in the book of Revelation. 3.5 years, 3.5 years. Because the key is the 7 years of Daniel's 70th week, and that and it breaks in half at the abomination of desolation. Remember Jesus? It's, to me, it's just stunning. With all that's gone on in the world and would go on in the world after the time of Jesus, he said, when you see the abomination of desolation, get out of town. That's at the midpoint. Okay? Good. Revelation, still this is review, not from our teaching, but from Sunday night. I won't ask for a show of hands how many saw Sunday night. All right. Too bad. It was probably the best sermon we've ever had at this church. But that's all right. Anyway. Then he opened his mouth. And it's kind of nice, though, that we have it available, isn't it? He opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, those who dwell in him. You can just hear him just speaking such hate and vile against everything related to God. God, his people, heaven itself. It was granted him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. Authority was given him over every... So he's going to be given... God's going to give him the freedom to persecute and destroy followers of Christ. You know, some will survive, of course. Many will perish. Authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That's kind of a cumbersome sentence. I can see an English teacher putting red all over that thing. You know, we could make this clearer here. But an English teacher in a Christian school wouldn't want to do that. They'd get in trouble. You know, we don't put red on inspired writing. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. Who it leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword will be killed with the sword. Here's the patience of the faith of the saints. So what we said on Sunday night was that the whole world will worship him. All who dwell on the earth will worship him. Of those whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Being written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, slain from the foundation of the world, showing that the crucifixion of Christ was not a failure. I've just finished teaching a world religions class, and one of the religions I quickly talked about was the Unification Church, Reverend Sun Myung Moon. And a central thesis to his teaching is that Jesus failed his mission. He wasn't supposed to die on the cross, and that's why Reverend Moon had to come and finish the job of the Messiah. That's not what the Bible says. And so notice here, the cross was the plan, as I said on Sunday night, before the first atom was created. God had already decided that the Son would come and die on the cross for us before we were created. He chose that. And he chose those who would be redeemed, saved. And so those whose names, and so as he chose his Son to go and die, he wrote out the book of the Lamb's Book of Life, those who would be saved. And not one of God's elect will fall into the deception of the Antichrist. In other words, it takes God's saving power to keep them from the deception of the Antichrist. The rest of the world will follow him, but not God's people. And we'll see the importance of that later, about the significance of taking the mark. That's not chapter 13, but that'll be huge later on. So some people might say, well, will Christians know the deception? God will keep them. God will keep them. And that's always the case, right? We don't keep ourselves. If it were our own strength, our own wisdom, our own power, we would fail. But John 10 is such a wonderful passage, right? The Father gave us to the Son, and so we're kept by the Son, and we're kept by the Father. And you would have to overpower God the Father and God the Son to take our salvation away from us. If you had to overpower me, I'm worried. But if you have to overpower God the Father and God the Son to take me out of salvation, more secure is no one ever, you know, than the child of God. Again, who gets the glory for that? You know, God does. Does that make us lax in our service? Grateful and fervent. If he loves me that much, what am I going to keep from him? But all who dwell on the earth will worship him. And you'll notice they're all holding up smartphones. And so that's part of the end times. I don't even know if this is a worship event or what this is, but it just gives the picture. The world will worship the Antichrist. Oh, because he was raised from the dead, while they rejected the Savior who was raised from the dead. Some, by the way, will ask the question, will he really die? And will he really be raised from the dead? And I, again, on Sunday night, talked about that. I think the language is clear. It's a death wound. He died. And so he will really be raised. Does Satan have that kind of power? You keep seeing the phrase, it was given to him. It was given to him. So in God's sovereign will, and 2 Thessalonians 2 says, God will allow it to be a season of unparalleled deception with miracles and signs of deception, so that God will allow Satan, and my understanding is, to raise up the dead. It won't be resurrection, because resurrection says now you're suited for glory or for eternity, either in heaven or hell. He'll be brought back to life to die later, like a Lazarus raising. But my understanding is that's what's going to happen. That's review, okay? Chapter 13, verses 11 and 12. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all of the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it. When you see that expression, those who dwell on the earth, throughout the book of Revelation, that's a label for unbelieving inhabitants of earth, earth dwellers. He'll call all who dwell on the earth to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Notice, keeps emphasizing that. Keeps emphasizing. He was raised from the dead. He was raised from the dead. So here is a more antiquated picture. I just took out some coloring pencils and did this afternoon. There we have it. You see, here's the beast coming out of the sea. And so we talked about the fact, and when we spoke about this passage, the sea is often a picture of the Gentile nations. And so here we see the beast, again, it's a Gentile world empire. The lamb is coming up out of the land. Some want to say, if he's coming out of the land and not the sea, so is the contrast between Antichrist, who's coming out of the Gentile world, and some will say, well, the lamb coming out of the land, that must be Israel, therefore he is a Jew. And some good students of Scripture will say that. I think it's better to say the contrast here is not between the lamb and the beast coming out of the sea, but the lamb coming out of the land and the lamb in chapter 5, the lamb in heaven. Okay. And so I would say he's probably also a Gentile, but he's not the heavenly lamb. He has two horns. I wasn't confident. How many people knew that lambs have horns? Okay. I actually read some commentaries and say, obviously, this is a very strange beast because it's a lamb with horns. Here's a picture of a lamb with horns. Lambs have horns, usually curled like this. So when you think of a lamb, what kind of thoughts come to mind when you see a lamb?
Gentle.
Stupid. Cognitively challenged is what we would say today. What else comes to mind when you see a lamb?
They're fearful.
Pardon me?
They're fearful.
Fearful, okay.
They won't protect themselves.
Won't protect themselves. I've talked with some who raised sheep and were very, very upset with the fact that when a predator comes and attacks the flock, they will just stand there. They won't even run. They don't have they can't figure out to run. So they're not well thought of by a lot of people. When I see a lamb, I think nice clothes to keep you warm. I see a lamb and I think tasty. Well, that's a personal opinion, I guess. So think of what we saw. Leopard. Lion, bear, dragon-like, scary beast, the Antichrist. Then comes along number two, a lamb. Harmless. I always remember the time Mary Elise approached a fence, and there were some sheep there, and she was maybe 3 years old. And just because she walked up to the fence, all these lambs, about five times her weight, went scattering in every direction, not threatening. But he looks like a lamb. He talks like a dragon. And there's a picture of a lot of religious figures that are deceivers. You know, someone may come across as so nice and so kind and so gentle. And yet, the deception that comes out of them is from the pit. Reminds me of, you've probably seen this kind of picture before, haven't you? A wolf in sheep's clothing. This is so well done, photoshopped, isn't it? You have to look kind of carefully. Wait a minute. As a matter of fact, I had to think for a while. Wait a minute. Lambs don't have ears like that. So there's a lot of religious teachers that are kind of like that. They gentle as lambs, but then they attack the flock. Here's kind of another lamb. But we're saying this beast number two the false prophet who points to the Antichrist has the voice of a dragon. And that's just I found a lizard head to stick on him. But so you notice this pair, one powerful, one blasphemous, one a great diplomat who can bring world peace. You know, so he's brilliant, not dumb like the lamb. He's powerful. He's all those, empowered by the devil. And then comes his prophet, who comes across as, you know, like the religious leader that he will be. He comes across as gentle and kind, but he will spew out deception and be an instrument of wickedness. I should have had flame coming out of that mouth too, I guess.
Empowered by Satan?
Is he empowered by Satan? That's a very good question. I don't know that we have a direct statement to that effect. But he performs great, as we can see here, great signs. So I would guess that's by the power of Satan. But maybe not as indwelt as, you know, many have pointed out. There's only, normally when we think of demonic possession, we think of demons, not Satan himself. We can think of two examples in Scripture that I can think of. One is Judas Iscariot. And that, you know, in other words, that was one of those assignments that had to be done right. And so you can see where Satan himself came into Judas Iscariot to go to the betrayal. And then the Antichrist. Those are the only two people that I know that said that Satan actually kind of indwells. But surely he's empowered, because look what it says here. He performs great signs. And there's that word for a miraculous sign. In other words, he's not just, have you ever watched one of these performing magicians? And I watched one, a video clip of one doing some tricks on the street, and you could tell the people were like, ooh, what? And he would say, it's not what it looks like. So he kept telling, this is all, I'm tricking you. But he would do stuff like, ooh, where'd that coin come from, you know? That's not what this is. This isn't, it is empowered from the pit. Actual signs. He'll perform great signs. He'll even make fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. He'll deceive those, again, who dwell on the earth. That's the unbelievers. By those signs, because he will not deceive God's people. He'll deceive the earth dwellers by the signs which he's granted to do. Granted, again, it was given to him sovereignly, approved by the Father. Telling those who dwell on the earth dwellers, to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword. There it is again, wounded by the sword. Now, it says he'll make fire come down from heaven. Who else could make fire? Can we think of any other examples? Elijah, okay? For extra credit. Elijah, where did that come from? Where did that happen? It came from heaven. God. In what locale? Mount Carmel. Good. Right. Anyone else able to see about making fire? Aside from Boy Scouts. Okay. Remember these guys? The Burlap Brothers? Remember, if anyone threatened them, what happened? Yeah. So, that must, for 3.5 years, they were doing that. I don't know how often they had to use the flamethrowers, but for 3.5 years, they were active, the first part of the tribulation. Now along comes someone else who says, I can do fire too. I can call down fire, but yeah. Also, who else called down fire? Elijah, remember? Remember, the false prophets couldn't. The worshippers of Baal could not. But Elijah could. God wouldn't let any demonic fire show that day. But here he is letting the false prophet. And so that's what we're going to call them. They're both called beasts. We could call them Beast 1 and Beast 2. But Antichrist and his false prophet. This false prophet will be able to call down fire. And remember, What was the point of Elijah's fire? Who is God? And what do the people say? Yahweh is God. Jehovah is God. because he could call down fire. And same with the witnesses. That was evidence. So he's saying, hey, we've got the power too. Worship Satan. Remember Elijah knows these statements. I'm as much, he's basically saying, from God as the witnesses were. Wasn't Elijah, by the way, he might try this one. You Jews, didn't your Bible say that Elijah will come before the Messiah? What did he do? Called down fire from heaven? Watch me. And so maybe he's claiming, I've got the Elijah blessing. Would he use the Bible? You think a false prophet would use the Bible? Satan did, didn't he? And so that will confuse people. And you'll come across people, they'll come to your door, they'll knock, and they'll use the Bible to confuse you and turn you from Christ. Good. Revelation 13, 15. Speaking of this false prophet, he was granted power. Then that could be referring to Satan, but I think really it's God's sovereign control. He allowed him to have power from Satan to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. This image, he's going to make the image, he'll give it the ability to breath so that it can actually speak. What do you think's going on here? Okay, that's kind of what I thought for a while. Let me rule out some possibilities. Could it possibly be just like a robot? Here's some volume, by the way, for this. How many remember this? Okay. The older ones remember this. This was state-of-the-art entertainment when we were kids. This was pushing the edges.
Alien approaching. Warning. Biophysical experiments extremely dangerous to Earth people.
Just some lousy animation like that is going to convince people, oh, that must be a divine. Now, here's a little more fancy. Some of you might recognize this one. How many have seen this? I haven't. Okay. Yeah. This is the something presidential, something or another. Well, who is this guy, by the way? Anyone know? Can you tell? Abraham Lincoln. Now, let's look. And this is, by the way, still kind of old technology. They're actually coming up. I saw where they're developing, where it's incredibly lifelike facial expressions. But here's another an animatron, or I can't remember what they call it, something like that.
Fourscore and 7 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war.
Well, he goes on. Well, stop there. You got to admit, that's pretty impressive. That's animated. That's not a cartoon. That's an actual machine, right? And I think if I showed that to someone 2,000 years ago and say, what do you think? They'll say, oh, that's it. That's the image of the beast. But think about it now. If the Antichrist's false prophet came up with something like that, would people worship it? I saw that at Disney World. I'm like, show me something impressive. And so, notice I've got the expression there. I'm thinking not just technology. I don't think he's just going to come up with some very impressive animated model or a hologram even. It says he will have the ability to give it breath, and that's the Greek word, pneuma. You know, we spell it kind of funny? Breath or wind, that's why someone gets pneumonia, and we put a P in there. But the word pneuma can also mean spirit. And so I wonder if what he is able to do is he's able to take this image and cause it to be inhabited by a demonic spirit. That would be convincing. Yes.
Mark Ryland texted in a bit ago saying demonic inspiration. And they said, warning, Will Robinson.
Amen. I go back to the first one. I still remember it. Warning, Will. But exactly. So Mark cheated. Thank you for holding offer. No one would be impressed that I had the answer. He's saying the same thing. And that's why when I see that, when I'm trying to think through here, what's going on, it cannot be anything technological, or people won't be impressed. Because frankly, we've got some very impressive technology. I think it's spiritual. He gives it a pneuma. And sometimes you'll see references to unclean spirits, pneuma. And so I think it's they make this thing, and then that's got to be very impressive. They make this image, and then it becomes demon-possessed. And people see things that, they didn't do that at Disney. And that demon will talk and answer questions and point them to worshiping the beast. Very deceptive times, yes.
In verse 15, it says, and it was given to him to give bread. Is the to him the second beast?
Yes. Okay. So the false prophet is the one who's doing this. And that's his kind of religious priestly function as a prophet. So his job will be drawing people to worship the beast.
You know, Drake, in this day and age, people can spot technology pretty easily.
Yeah.
But to have something supernatural, that's going to attract a lot of people.
Yeah. That they will say, okay, this isn't, and that'll go along with raised from the dead. I think it'll be no question that he was dead. Raised from the dead, even his image, and maybe the demon will be able to imitate his voice. And so, again, there's a question. It says the people of the world will make it. Will they be all over the place or just one? There'll certainly be one in Jerusalem. I think people, again, it'll be a time of great deception. So, my understanding, the Bible tells us the rapture, we won't be here for this. Why would this, what's this, how do we get anything out of this?
Blessed in not being there.
Amen. Don't wait, because it'll be hard. It'll be hard. The deception will be great. Trust Christ now. Can we also learn from this? Just because an impressive sign is performed, it doesn't mean it's from God. And because there's a lot of people claiming all kinds of miracles and all this. And I almost showed you a video of some guy who interrupts a funeral and raises someone. Well, it turns out it was all a hoax, obviously. But it was, Satan is powerful and he can do things. God limits him now, but he can do things. Just because some group claims they can do miracles, first of all, a lot of them are faked. Do you remember, Dan, this is ancient history. Right here in Dallas, though, a national news story came into a local Dallas miracle-working preacher. And one of his miracles he was really good at was if you had one leg short, he could lengthen your leg right there on the camera. I mean, and people would come up and he would lengthen the leg, and it was crazy. He'd make a bone grow. Well, they zoomed in on the camera. What he was doing was moving your shoe. He'd grab your foot by the shoe by the heel and just kind of pull it out. But it looked like, whoa, deception. Well, that's the kind of thing, okay, we got the camera, that was just phony. Satan can do real stuff. The real question, and there over in Deuteronomy 18, the question is their teaching pointing to the God of the Bible and scripturally sound? Don't let the miracles confuse you. Last couple of verses here. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, everybody, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, so that no one can buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. I was struck by, I was looking for, you know, pictures, image of the beast kind of stuff, and oddly enough, mark on the forehead, this came up. What's that? Ash Wednesday. Now, I am not saying that's the mark of the beast. But you know what? There are people, Catholics, right, mostly, who will get this mark and even take some abuse. I remember, I think it was Ted Turner or something, that some people employ came to an employee meeting on Ash Wednesday, and he mocked them for this religious. But notice that people are already used to the idea of showing religious devotion by a mark on the forehead. And that's what this is about. The mark is a sign of devotion to the beast. Okay? I'm not saying this is the mark. I'm just saying, interesting parallel. We're told to be the mark or the name or 666 on the forehead or on the hand. The main thing is, it'll be just an indicator of devotion to the beast, and that's, you have to do that. We'll find out later in Revelation, if you take the mark of the beast, you won't go to heaven. I mean, it's because if you worship the beast, the doors of heaven are closed. What is the number calculated? There's a thing called gematria. Counting up number values by each letter has an assigned value. And so people of all kinds, for 2,000 years, people have tried to figure out what's the 666. Don't know. But in the end times, the believers will know. That's the Antichrist. Okay. It's interesting, in doing my research, there are various other numbers of the beast that we do have. There's a social security number. The number of the beast in Australia will be 999. At Walmart, it'll be 656.66. His gasoline is Phillips 666. Regular gas will be $6.66, coming soon to a station near you. The highway of the beast, Route 666, yeah. What's the fertilizer he uses? Six. What's the best temperature for cooking roast beef, roast beast? 600. His retirement plan will be a 666K. His zip code, 00666. What's his car? BMW 666i. And on that BMW, he'll have the IM 666 as his license plate. This obviously is not something I did, but the fruit of people who have too much time on their hands. I'm sure you could add to the list. Yes, ma'am.
Mark says 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10.
Would that be binary? Would that be 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10? Maybe. I'm not sure. Okay. Yeah. So I don't know. It'll be clear then. It'll be clear then. Again, picking up on Hitler, what is our impression of the swastika today? A sign of wickedness. I was so surprised when I was over in Nepal to see the swastikas on places. It's also a symbol of Hinduism. But, you know, now we look at it, if we saw someone wearing a swastika, we would say, what is, something's really wrong here. But in Hitler's Germany, it was an emblem of honor. And the 666 will be whatever it, you know, that all looks like at the time. It'll be an emblem of honor and pleasure. Kind of like a I voted sticker, you know, or something like that. But it points to the fact it'll be a controlled economy. You cannot buy or sell without, and if you don't take the mark, you'll be killed, but you cannot buy or sell.
Kind of like having a vaccination card.
Kind of like a vaccination card. More and more places are going to say, if you don't have the vaccination card, you don't get in. Can I go back to ancient? Oh, yes, another comment.
Yes, Mark. Okay. Yes, binary.
Binary, okay. And he would be able to rattle that off, and the rest of us have to just take it by faith. Good job. Okay, some of you are before my time. Ration cards, World War II. If you didn't have the ration card, you weren't making the purchase. Well, there was black market stuff going on. But, you know, they told you how often, you know, notice on this, here's the week of so-and-so, you can buy, well, I guess, a pound or however much sugar was the allotment. Gasoline ration cards. I mean, they had ration cards for everything. If you didn't have the ration card, you couldn't buy the product. And you know, so it was a controlled economy. That's what it's going to be like at the time. So what we've seen is when Antichrist comes on the scene, and in particular, he'll come on the scene and bring peace to the world in the first half. But we're now looking at the last half. When he comes on the scene with such power, he'll lead to a controlled religion. Chapter 13, verse 8 and 12 to 15. You will worship this beast. It'll be a controlled economy. You will take his mark on you. And again, that's a sign of your devotion, your submission to him. You will take that mark or you will not be able to buy or sell. And it'll be a time of world domination. He will conquer the nations. He will rule the nations. And so this is giving us the flavor of this last three and a half years of the 7 years. Any other thoughts or comments on this passage?
It's kind of sobering.
It is. It is sobering. You know what? You know, someone might say, well, that's a lot of change to come. So we've got time. But haven't we been impressed? To me, I've been amazed at how quickly things have changed in the last decade. In the moral realm. Amazing. Just the virus, the pandemic. But that dramatically, I mean, I kind of like some of it. All of a sudden, if you did go out driving, the roads were empty. of course, you couldn't go anywhere. Every place was closed. But it was just amazing, wasn't it, how the whole world was transformed so quickly over a virus, not a world war or anything like that. The world can change dramatically when this person comes on the scene.
He has the fatal head wound that only occurred, sounds like, on one of the heads. He had seven.
I think that's where we're drawing the distinction. Yes, so the question is, there's seven heads, only one of them gets wounded. Part of that, in chapter 17, we'll get back to what the seven heads and all represent. So part of that's, it's the empire. And then the head, here it's talking about more the individual being wounded. Now, though some have said, maybe what's going on is one of the nations will fall and rise again. That's happened a lot in history. Would that really cause people to worship? You know, probably not. But yeah, that's a good observation there. I think we understand that. Good. Anything else? Great. Father, oh, these are difficult and hard and dark and deceptive times. We recognize that that is part of your judgment on this rebellious and unbelieving world. Father, thank you for the mercy that your children will be taken from this planet before that. But Father, we know many will come to faith and go through hard times. Lord, we just recognize how evil is and how much we need you in every age. And so as we close now, we ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.